Good evening. This is Paranormal Investigator Radio. I'm Peter, and I've had it.
Folks, that was a hiccup and a laugh at the same time. That was interesting. This is Rich, and I'm here with Pete and Steve. Welcome, gentlemen.
Good evening.
Good evening.
To another snowy December night here in upstate New York as we have some last-minute technical changes here. We apologize for starting about 5 minutes late. We're having a little bit of technical problems.
Streaming in this realm and beyond, we're listening to Paranormal
Investigator.
Oh,
my God, I hear a voice. You guys hear that?
Yes, it's paranormal.
It's a woman talking. Really creepy-like.
Yeah, it's paranormal.
I think this whole thing is possessed tonight. This is just ridiculous.
Wow.
It's always me. I can't find the right hole to stick it in.
Oh, that don't
or it sound. Just doesn't work.
Not really sure where that's going.
Yeah.
Folks, literally, we tried three different mics for him and three different plugs, and every time we plug it in, Steve would say, check, check, and we'd hear him. We'd hand it to Pete, and all of a sudden, it's dead. Finally, one mic just all of a sudden worked. We're like, don't screw with it here.
So the first 15 minutes you missed was really good, but it involved a lot of swearing.
And throwing things.
Yeah, I learned you don't throw your laptop into the wall.
No, not at all. Not at all.
So do we want to play our standard introduction form now that I figured out which hole works?
Oh, why not? Let's go for it.
Paranormal Investigator Radio. Streaming in this realm and beyond, you're listening to Paranormal Investigator Radio with your hosts, Peter Leonard, Rich Nicodem, and Dr. David DeProspero.
The poor doctor's on sabbatical this evening. So let me go right in. If anybody wants to call us up, that's less stuff we have to come up with. So let me give them the call-in number so they can contact us.
Lines are now open. In North America, call toll free 1-888-429-5471.
International callers, please dial area code 530-763-1594. Actually, that catchphrase is taken, right? I'm sorry. So, guys, what's going on in the world of the paranoia? Anything exciting? Or
it's always exciting here at Rome Investigators of the Paranormal.
Oh, absolutely.
Should we delve in with a question? That topic has come up again.
Uh-oh.
The personal attacks against poor old us. How can you possibly provide good customer service if you're 20 people? Well, we don't send 20 people into a house. Duh.
Wow. You know, anytime people can gel up the energy to say something negative about somebody else, they'll do it. You know, if half the people in the world would take whatever anxiety or anger or jealousy they have and kind of focus it in the right direction, imagine how many more people we could help, people we could clothe, people we could feed. Things like that. It's just ridiculous. Yeah, we have a team, about 20 or so members, but we felt the need to grow to that number. And one of the reasons being, and Steve can tell you this firsthand, is he is our case manager, the workload. You know,
absolutely.
You don't want these people to sit out there forever. You want to take their cases very seriously. You want to help them, and you want to respond to them in a timely manner. So Steve can elaborate a little bit more on that.
When you get as many cases as we're getting the last few weeks, it's important that you get to the people, like Rich just said, as soon as you possibly can. And as it is, I'm backlogging some of our cases till after the holidays. I already did one, and they were fine with it. I think it's important. The team thinks it's important. So we had to get more members. And so far, each member that we have, our new members, they're working out perfect. They're really diving into everything, and they're doing a phenomenal job. As you probably could attest to, you worked with two of our new members last Friday.
I did. I had a great experience. When we bring members on board also, Steve didn't go into detail on, but we do have a screening process. There are a lot of people that are interested in the paranormal and would love to go ghost hunting and would love to be part of a team, but we're looking for people that have more of an ambition and passion than just that. They want to delve into the paranormal. They want to understand it. They want to explore it. And they also want to help people and be part of this community. And those are the people that we like to bring aboard. And in fairness to the existing members, because our organization has been around for over 10 years, essentially, we have a meeting. We kind of look over the candidates and see what they have to bring to the table and offer RIP. And then we all kind of unanimously vote. It's a democracy. And, you know, and if the existing and the older members want to bring any new people in and they choose who they like, we bring them in and we go through a pretty rigorous training process.
We've decided to be politically correct. We're not calling us the old timers anymore. We're now the Council of Elders. And it's 10 of us.
We're all going, yeah, okay.
Not walking Game that of Thrones, round of council, folks. But...
Game of Thrones.
Well, we're like the A-team. Right now, we do have an immediate need for someone who knows explosives and maybe MacGyver-esque type of stuff. So we can...
As the table can attest to tonight, we have wires all over the place.
Yeah. And as Steve alluded a few minutes ago, I did do in a consultation over the weekend, and I took a few of the new RIP members out to the consultation. And I was pretty impressed with how Larry and Jen conducted themselves. They were great at asking questions, and that's really part of the consultation process is really asking a lot of questions and then listening to see or to hear what they tell you. And then when you go to the house, we have a consultation questionnaire that we had specifically designed. It was a long, painstaking process, but we came up with one. We go over that consultation form with the property owners and let them know that everything is held and confidential. Then we actually go around and we explore the rooms. We do sweeps for EMF and things like that. And some people think, well, why are you doing sweeps for EMF or EMF? Well, in this particular case that we did, this consultation, we discovered in one of the bedrooms where there was some alleged paranormal activity that there were high levels of EMF. I mean, to the point where it pinned the K2 to red. Now, folks, I don't know about you, but we're exposed to EMF from our cell phones, alarm clocks, a lot of different things. But when you're in a bedroom and you're laying in your bed and you're detecting EMF around your bed, on your pillow, on your sheets, people who have sensitivity to this sort of thing probably could wake up thinking that they're seeing things or not sleeping through the night, feel like they're being watched and other things like that. So it's a very real thing, EMF. And, you know, sometimes we do find paranormal activity that is caused by something we can't explain. And other times we find it caused by natural things in the environment.
Well, could that not work both ways too? I mean, we're using EM pumps. So if it's actually putting that much EMF into a room, it may actually increase activity, I would think, too.
Yeah, that's actually a good point. I didn't think of that. Pete mentioned that to me the other day. It's like when we go in some places and we want to try to document some paranormal activity and gain some evidence, we do use devices called EM pumps that generate a low level of EMF, actually in pulses through various frequency ranges. And with the hopes of anything that's here, a ghost, spirit, whatever you want to call it, folks, will use that energy to kind of summon itself up to try to manifest, give us some audio evidence. But if you think of it this way, if you go into a place and then there's something going on and now it's being fed by a high level of EMF from, say, the service entrance coming in from the house or whatever have you, could that very well supply the energy that something that's there to manifest? And one of the claims in this particular case was that the child that resides there in the house actually saw a gentleman in his doorway. And they see shadows and things like that. Now, that's a good possibility. That's something that Pete mentioned to me before I didn't even think of. So, very real.
So, I mean, yes, you can debunk it. Yes, it is a medical claim. But at the same point, maybe it really is generating. Plus, you said this was the first time you've seen weird wiring coming in from a external power source or something like that, right? The cable from the pole.
Right.
Was rigged weirdly on the house, which may be actually grounding the house out or causing some other weird... And it very well may be just EMF. We did that house, and one time where it actually pegged out the digital EMF meter and it actually said error, which means it went over 1,000.
Wow.
And the homeowner, I believe, did have cancer, which we instructed them, you know, you might really want to consider moving because that kind of exposure on a daily basis obviously isn't good.
Well, it could be grounding, and also there could be shielding, too. I believe that main wire that comes down into your meter is got some kind of shielding on it. Because I know I found where the wire came into my house, and I've got a 200-amp service coming into my home. I upgraded it about 6 or 7 years ago. And I went to the inside wall, which is on the opposite side of where it's coming in, and took my K2 right to the wall to see if it would peg red. And it only got up to, like, about yellow. So there's two green lights, a yellow, an orange, and a red on the K2 I have. So it went up to yellow, right up as I held it up against the wall. As I backed it away from the drywall, within a few inches, it went back down to just one green light. So that range of emittance of EMF is very small with a shielded cable. Now, when you're on the opposite side of the wall in this house, it's pegged all the way to red. And you walk away a foot, 2 feet away, and it's still at orange. So yeah, I mean, that was a concern. And we did tell the homeowner what we found, and we did show him the EMF that was generated near the bed with the K2, and we suggested a couple different things. Possibly move the child's bed to the other set wall, which we didn't pick up any EMF at all. The K2 is pretty much dead. Or try having the boy sleep in their room, maybe switch bedrooms, have the father and mother go into the other room while the child goes into that room. And because he could be hypersensitive to the EMF. So a couple suggestions to see if the child would sleep through the night without waking up feeling scared or watched or whatever, and see if that does anything. But ultimately, they need to have that addressed.
Absolutely. As you can, it sounds like sometimes it's not a case for paranormal investigators, but for electricians.
Exactly. And, you know, without being an electrician and never claiming to be an electrician, it's something that, without actually looking at the service entrance coming in with that wire is, because like Pete said, they had some kind of like, I don't know if it's aluminum channel or a vinyl channel that went and covered the whole cable as it went down the side of the house. Well, usually when it connects to the house, it's already in its own shielded cable and it comes down. But this was shielded, and I don't know if that was to hide something or basically to keep people away from it. I don't know. So it's something they need to take a look at.
Don't touch that in a rainstorm.
No, not at all.
Not a good idea.
I do have to apologize. Our online fact checker, Mark, told me that the digital EMF does max out at 199, not 1,000, so I do apologize. That's why I'm the historian. You win some, and I lose them all.
Yeah.
Make sure you get your Mega Millions tickets tonight. I think it's, what, 344 million? Imagine the equipment we could buy with that ring.
Oh my God! Then we'd have more haters on Facebook.
We would boss a train.
We would have our own roving. Have our own everything, you know.
His taps, look out! Here we come.
Offices, everything.
Steve can finally take puppies and pistols on the road.
Oh, absolutely!
The Broadway show.
You know, actually, puppies that sounds like a Steve good radio show. Not a puppies, but that's another show. Yeah.
Wait a minute, Rip the musical. Maybe we could get Carrie Underwood. That. She just did The Sound of Music, right?
The world's not ready for that. It's not.
Ripped music. No.
Well, Mike dressed up like a Viking with coconuts on. And...
Now, did you see the chain of email today where you guys were talking about the possible RIP Christmas party and having everyone dress up to the nativity scene there where Mark, Barry, that. Pete, and Dr. Dave would be the three wise men. Mike would be baby Jesus. And I would be Joseph. And I was so inclined to put a response back to everyone saying, "So you want me to do the heavy lifting?"
No, I missed that email.
Okay.
I seen some of the thread.
Well, that was one that I typed in my mind, and then I typed on the keyboard, and then I just backspaced it out.
20 people, we can have a hell of a party.
Yeah.
We laugh at our own jokes. I still laugh at my own parts. If I can see that on the air.
We're always entertaining to us.
I mean, enter... I'm the only person I know that's ever caught an anal cold, and I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, but the thing is, folks, going back to the number of people in the group, Steve can attest to this. We've got 5 or 6 cases right now for the month of December. And as you can imagine, scheduling this kind of stuff, you have to schedule around the property owner's time, not your time. So we do have some of these where we've got two a night. And then we have consultations for other cases going on at the same time, which I'm not calling cases. I don't actually call it a case until we actually do the investigation. So with all this going on, it behooves us not to have a team of trained professionals. And I use the word professional very loosely. No, I'm just kidding. Everyone in our group, before we send out to do any kind of private investigations, it have all kind of met our expectations of the core group, demonstrated their aptitude with the equipment, as well as their people skills.
Their willingness to help.
Yeah, and their willingness to help.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you've got to want to help people in order to do this, folks. So, and you can't pass judgment on people. I mean, people come in all different shapes and sizes, like we do. And, you know, you go into just a homeowner's property. You know, everyone's different, and we don't go there to judge or anything. That's we just right. go there to help, so.
Well, let me take a quick station ID here and their call-in number. If anybody'd like to call us up and ask us questions about the ghosts, UFOs. I don't know anything about Sasquatch.
Bigfoot. Ask Bigfoot. Me, please.
Bigfoot.
I do have a size 12 shoe.
Phone lines are now open. In North America, call toll-free 1-888-429-5471. International callers, please dial area code 530-763-1594.
Thank you. This is Paranormal Investigator Radio on the BBS Radio Network, the greatest radio station of all time.
Amen.
Yes, it is.
Hallelujah, Brother Pete.
All right.
Hallelujah.
I got a little topic for you. I spent most of the night researching this. As you know, a couple weeks ago, we did a investigation fundraiser up in Gloversville.
Yep.
Ryan's been posting on Facebook quite a bit about these unexplained boom-sounding noises that have been happening up in Gloversville.
Hmm.
And believe it or not, I've actually gotten a few emails about that. People in Rome are starting to hear these unexplained booms coming from the sky. I haven't heard them yet, but from what I've heard, they're being described as like a cannon sound.
Is there a war going on we don't know about?
A war within the Earth, yes. The Nephilim are finally coming up from the center of the Earth because they have permission. No, that's a different show. That one's after midnight. No, I'm sorry. Actually, believe it or not, there is a geological explanation for that. I haven't played with my geologicals in a long time. It's been at least 20 years. Hey, at one point in my life, I've collected pretty much everything except bugs and taxes. Let's see, where is it here? I got this written down. As you know, the geology of New York State is mostly glacial moraine, which means it's leftovers from the last ice age because we were actually under a lake. So during the Cambrian era, we were underwater.
Nice.
Did you guys know that the Adirondack Mountains are some of the oldest exposed pieces of granite on the planet? They're almost a billion years old?
Yes, I knew that, except that 1 billion years old, but I knew that they're old.
They're pretty old.
I didn't know that.
And it's not actually because of tectonic movement or uplifting. It's actually caused by mostly erosion. But there's something called brontides, B-R-O-N-T-I-D-E-S. They're actually surface earthquakes that happen that aren't strong enough to actually cause a seismic machine thingies to go off.
A seismograph? Yes.
But it actually creates a series of 1 to 3 booms, which are what most of these reports are revolving around. It's able to manipulate the air. It causes some type of audible explosion. Nothing's actually exploding, it's just the sound.
Hmm.
And this has been a phenomenon. I didn't know that this actually went back to the Indian days, the American Indian days. There's actually something in the Finger Lakes called the something guns. Where is it? Finger Lakes, the Seneca guns. They've been reported occurrences for the past 200-300 years. So a couple 200-300 years this has been going on, but all of a sudden it seems to be the big
I've never heard him, so.
See, and I kind of felt bad because when they first posted, you know, we're hearing all these booms. Naturally, I assumed because of all the UFO sightings over Rome, I'm like, start checking the skies. They might be testing something. Yeah. Somebody's flying in and out. There's also meteors that cause explosions like that. Weather balloons, swamp gas.
I was just kidding about those things.
But yeah, good old geology. Never guessed that.
No, me neither. That's cool.
You know, New York is actually active. I mean,
it sure is.
Earthquakes. You know, they're concerned with the one down near Pennsylvania there, which runs almost to the point of where the Indian River looks. That nuclear plant. Nuclear.
I have no idea.
Honestly, I don't do drugs before I go on the air. I just can't talk to them. And, they're also called Miss Poupin. Reported around the world to Miss Poupin. It's almost up there with our new team logo.
Oh, gosh.
Jeju.
Jelly, whatever it was.
Jeju Jalapu.
Yeah.
Which Steve actually came up with. It means when all else fails, roll up into a ball.
Good advice, everyone. Please take that.
The booms are even reported by the Bedouin people in the Egyptian desert.
Huh.
I've never heard of these booms. I've never heard them.
I kind of figured that because I'm just talking to myself here about the booms. That's okay. Said boom boom, hey yo. Put your hands in the air with the mystery boom, go hey yo. Anyway, anything Sasquatchian going on?
Sasquatchian? New term there, huh? I don't know how many of you follow the TV show Finding Bigfoot, which is not kind of one of my favorite shows, folks. Don't judge me. Okay.
It's a good show. It just came on Netflix, and I've just started watching it. They had the first 10 episodes or 6 episodes, and I watch it. And I'm sitting there going, really, you're going to leave me with just 6 and that's it? And now I'm hooked. I'm hooked on it.
You have to get cable TV to keep up what's going on.
See,
here.
I don't want to know.
Okay. Well, anyways, it's a great concept because the show kind of focuses paranormal investigating at night using some of the gear that we use along with squatching. It's a new term. They need to add that to the Webster's Dictionary, squatching. Essentially, there's a team, for those of you who don't watch the show, I'll just give you the three-minute synopsis here. It's a team led by Matt Moneymaker, who's a renowned Bigfoot explorer. He's been studying Bigfoot for a long time. Now, here's a guy whose parents are pretty wealthy, and I think he went to law school. And he kind of left all that and got into squatching, got hooked on it, and been doing it, and started the BFRO organization. And then you got Cliff, who's a school teacher from Oregon, which is like the Squatch capital of the country. And being a school teacher, he had a lot of time off in the summer, so he got involved in squatching. And then you add Bobo, who's an ex-surfer and also a logger. I was like, hey, dude. And you add him
he's
to the mix. Yeah, he's a
big,
really big dude. Nicest guy in the world, though. I've talked to him on the phone a few times because I'm exploring some business opportunities with him. And he is like on the phone, just like he is on the show. Hey, dude, what's up? You know, great guy. Then you have Renee, because you had to add the female element to the show. But not only that, but you had to add someone who's a skeptic. And her being a renowned field biologist, as you know, the show claims, she comes in with a whole skeptic. And you can tell during the show her and Matt Moneymaker don't see eye to eye on things. But anyways, great concept. They go out at night and they do the tree knocks. They do the Sasquatch calls, and each one has a different kind of call. They've even implemented the thermal imaging camera technology, parabolic mics to listen for audio. They've done stuff on hot air balloons, ATVs. They've even put up sound systems outside and played music and played, you know, other kinds of calls, distress animal calls. So it's a pretty cool concept, and every once in a while they come across something. So you're hoping that it is bona fide. But again, I mean, they go into town, they have the town hall meetings, they talk to people.
I like that part.
try to find how credible the witnesses are. And they've done investigations all over the country. And actually, they did some in China and some other places. But the Sierra Nevadas is like one of my favorite places, and they do it because the mountains are so vast, and part of them are snow-capped, and part of them are deep evergreen forests. It's such just a beautiful place. And again, you know, these guys are definitely hardcore outdoors people that go out and do this show. So if any of you are into the whole Squatch thing, you know, let us know. Give us a call here at the station and let us know what your opinions are on the Squatch. I'd like to hear from some people out there what they think. I basically am very skeptical about things. I was skeptical about the paranormal when I got involved in it, and I wanted to see it for myself. I'm the same thing about Sasquatch. I'm really kind of hoping there's something there because it would be so cool. However, you got to respect the fact that if there's something there, that this creature is so elusive and smart that no one's killed it yet. No one's found a dead one yet. No one's stepped in a pile of Sasquatch crap. I mean, it's, you got to respect that whole thing.
It's cool until you find one and he starts chasing you.
And he's pissed off.
They got to get the turtle man and go into the woods after him.
You know what? I just saw that show the other night. That guy is hysterical.
They got that on Netflix, too. I haven't seen him yet.
Oh, I've watched Ernie for years. I actually tried to see if he wanted to be an honorary member of RIP. He caught a bat in mid-flight with his hand.
Now, that is impressive.
I mean, it took me to my mouth to catch one, but, I mean, he was actually to pull that puppy right out. Beautiful. Very funny show. I respect the man. The tattoo he wears is symbolic of his lifestyle. Even if you watch some of the earlier episodes, you'll even actually see him bathing in a bucket of rainwater, a big wooden barrel of rainwater. I think it was the episode where he actually caught a skunk and the skunk sprayed him and he threw up. And spoiler alert, I probably should have said that first. But sorry, just like I ruined Walking Dead for everybody last week.
Thank you, Pete, very much. I appreciate that.
Yes, and The Walking Dead is on hiatus right now as they did the mid-season break, or finale, they call it. And it's kind of a new thing over the last few years with television shows, isn't it? This mid-season finale. They actually, maybe they've done it right along, but now they officially call it the mid-season finale.
The reason why I really stopped watching broadcast TV, wait for everything to come out on those sites, is because, first of all, I hate that mid-season. I remember when TV, they used to work through the mid-season, and they used to make 30-some episodes. Now they make 22 episodes.
Well, they usually start out with like six, and they run it a year and see what... You know how the ads do and how the people respond to it, because again it's driven by money now even more so than ever has been. Not that it wasn't to begin with, but now they run like what Haunted Collector. I think they did six episodes. So here you go, boom. Let's see what it does. And you know, and again, I'm a huge fan of Haunted Collector, and I'm hoping someone else picks Haunted Collector up, and I see it on another network. You know, in the paranormal shows, you know, folks, a lot of people. Especially people in the paranormal world pass judgment on them, but I still think there's always value in everything. I mean, I could watch an episode of Ghost Adventures, Ghost Hunters, and Haunted Collector, and there's always something in there that I can find interesting, or I could pick up and say, hey, I want to try that. It looks kind of cool. So take it for what it's worth. I mean, Ghost Hunters always comes up with some pretty cool concepts. Ghost Adventures always has some pretty cool new toys. And Haunted Collector always is finding some pretty cool objects. And, I mean, we, Steve and I, and Pete, actually were involved in an investigation where we actually found objects that had high EMF readings, an old shoe and a pair of scissors. I know we've talked about this before in other shows, but we've actually seen it. And when the homeowner removed the objects, the paranormal activity stopped. So, again, being skeptical about what John Zaffis used to do and then actually doing it myself... and replicating, and then I'm like, hey, you know what? He's onto something.
Yeah, he is.
So, and then, you know, the whole Deep South Paranormal, to me, that was nothing more than a comedy show. I'm not taking anything away from it, but that's my interpretation of it. And then the ghost mine was kind of, do all mining companies bring along paranormal investigators down into mines, look for ghosts? What do they care if there's ghosts in there? They're gonna mine it anyways, right?
Well, that was a valid thing I saw in one of the episodes there, is that when miners see or hear the Tommy knockers, they never go back in, because like 9 out of 10 times, that really is a real warning that something's going to happen in that cave, or that mine, I should say.
Oh, gotcha.
And that's something that they get freaked out about and take serious. Even,
But then you talk to them outside of that aspect. They don't believe in the paranormal at all, but they believe in the Tommyknockers, which is nothing new. It's when we do our consultations. Do you believe in God? No. Do you believe in angels? Yes. Do you believe in the devil? Yes. Well,
exactly.
I don't really understand the train of thought. I respect it. It's yours. I did see Haunted Highway the other night at 3 in the morning during my insomnia. It was actually a decent show. It's the first time I caught a couple episodes of that. Mm-hmm. So I was doing a search online to see if we could see what the new paranormal topic is. And I'm embarrassed. I probably legally shouldn't say this on the air, the first website that came up. Vagina knitting, not everyone's taste. I'll just leave it at that. And there is actually pictures in here about that.
Oh, okay. No,
so I guess it does fall under the realm of paranormal.
I'm not looking. I'm not going to look.
I couldn't say to eat your own, but that's. I'll just stop there.
All right. Ba boom boom.
Ba ding bing boom.
This is a family show.
It's all over the search thing.
Really?
Well, aren't you on like Eskimo Tube or something?
That's another fascinating thing. I mean, I've been searching out Facebook. There's a very large organization with Native American paranormal research. It's something I really want to spend some time looking at.
That's interesting because there's so much about their culture and their history, and they have a lot of methodology that would probably be like old school kind of stuff, you know?
Exactly. I think they really believe in now, I don't want to say the paranormal, but the way the earth is. They really...
Spiritual.
Worship, yeah, not worship the earth, but they really value what the earth can give them, whether it be food or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Yes.
No, they have a deeper spirituality than most other cultures.
Absolutely, they do.
And I respect that. I mean, that was one of the things with a few of the conventions we went to, place it was being held. We had to respect their spiritual beliefs, but paranormal.
Imagine investigating the paranormal, say going back, not even that far, say going back 30 years, 20, let's say 20 years. What did these people like the Warrens and you know, John Zaffis in his early years and all these people have for equipment? You know what they had? They had film cameras. They had cassette recorders, reel-to-reel tape recorders. They had, like, divining rods. They had their senses. That's pretty much... And the other thing that they used to use a lot was psychics. They used to use psychics, I think, a lot more than they use now. And I did read some articles online, and some of the other people saying that some of these older paranormal investigators, and it's not John Zaffis or the Warrens or anything like that, but I don't recognize the names, but they're saying that essentially that, you know, now with all the new groups that are out there, you know, with all the technology now that people go out and investigate with technology, really what qualifies them as paranormal investigators. Because they would say back in the days, parapsychologists would do this and they would take a psychic with them, and the psychic would kind of be like the, you know, the bloodhound. Look for the scene of the crime or look for where the activity is, and the parapsychologist would then use the limited tools in their kit to try to get evidence. So we're now, we go in and we set up things and we can get equipment, you know, at Best Buy and other places online and go in and gather evidence. So
the cameras now we have are just out of this world. I mean, the clarity of the picture. He was just telling us about his camera he got. You know, you could see everything with those cameras. And
But a lot of the old school do swear by the film cameras, the Polaroids, the chemical method of photography.
They still use them, I think, too.
Yeah, I think it was a lot harder to get away with fakes and stuff when you're doing the film stuff as compared with all the digital editing software you can buy now. You can take any photo and do whatever you want with it. You know what I mean? But I highly respect their methodology. Those are the people.
Absolutely.
You got to also respect them because they're the ones that used to do it before it was popular. You know, they were ridiculed for what they did, you know?
Absolutely.
But they did it.
Well, it looks like we have a call on line one. I'll let you gentlemen take this.
Hello, caller.
Well, hello, guys.
And
how are you doing this evening?
Wonderful. How about you?
This is Mary, and I'm calling from Utica.
We love Utica.
You do? Great. Anyway, just have a quick question. What's the turnaround, the normal turnaround for after you do an investigation when you come back with the reveal of what you're finding?
Well, as far as our group is concerned, we try to get it out as soon as we can, within a
right.
few weeks. Sometimes there is extenuating circumstance. It depends on also our caseload. When we go into a place, we investigate, as you know. We come back and we try to start the process right away. But you have to also remember that a lot of our group members also have full-time jobs. So sometimes it can take sometimes it can take a couple weeks. Sometimes it can take longer.
It also depends
right.
on...
I was just curious. I mean, it's got to be a tedious process also. And if there isn't a lot of evidence found, do you sometimes go back to reinvestigate?
Well, I'll answer that question. Yeah, sometimes we do. And, you know, sometimes when we get the evidence, and a lot of times it depends on the case. Say, for instance, we go into some place where the homeowner is having some problems and they're concerned or they're scared or things going on, they want an explanation. We kind of knock that up to our priority list. And then when we go in, we do our investigation, again, following our protocol after consultation, we will go over the evidence as quick as possible and try to get back. But sometimes we find things and we're not sure what it is, so we can't say for it's paranormal related. So some of the stuff we do dismiss. But if we come back to the homeowner, we say, listen, we didn't get anything of any significance. However, we did find a few things, but we can't point the finger at it and say this is paranormal. Then what happens, we'll back away for a little bit and see what happens. And if all of a sudden they're still experiencing activity, then that pretty much gives us the go-ahead, you know, based on their permission, to go back in and do a second investigation and try to get some kind of answers. Because a lot of times people are either one of two mindsets. They either want help and they want to know what it is so they can deal with it, or they just want to know what it is just because they watch the TV shows and they want to see, you know, they can tell their friends, I've got ghosts in my house and this is what they do and stuff. So, you know, it's dinner discussion stuff. So, you know,
Unfortunately.
Okay. Yeah, I just wanted to ask that question. All right, I'm really enjoying the show. You guys are great, and I'm gonna go back and listen to the end. You guys have a great night.
You
Thank
too.
You
Thanks,
for
Mary.
Your call.
Okay. All right. Bye bye.
She spoils us.
Yes, she does very much. We touched on this earlier, guys. How busy we're going to be. So before the end of the show, I'm going to give you a couple a rundown here. We have investigations set for the next two weekends, the 14th and the 21st. I'm not going to give out where, but so be ready, Mister.
We're going to the moon.
We're going to the moon.
Sounds good.
And then we're going to be in the same. I mean, last year was a bad year. A lot of members had personal problems, and I know I ended up with inheriting about 700 hours of audio to listen to. And I mean, really, you can only listen to about an hour a day.
It is very hard because
we prioritize.
And it can be tedious, but it's something that has to be done, and we try to get it out as soon as we can.
Yes. Like we did the family there with the child. I mean. The next day I went through that audio.
The thing is,
I mean, we prioritize.
We could be sitting here and doing and reviewing evidence, and we get a call. We need help. Something's happened. Especially like Pete and Rich have also already said that. If it's a child, we drop everything and go. They take precedent. At any child, any situation like that.
Amen.
Hallelujah, Brother Steve. Hallelujah.
Well, before I turn it over to Steve, can I give out the big news? I don't know if I even let you two guys in on
that. No, as a matter of fact, that was my associate at work said, so what's the big news, Rich? And I'm like, what are you talking about? He goes, it's posted all over Rome Investigators of the Paranormal on Facebook.
I teased my sister. I says, I'm going to tell her what the big news is before the show so she's not shocked. He says, we have our own TV show. We're going to be. She goes, really, really? And I, no.
It's on a 2:22 Sunday morning.
Hey, better at 2:22 than never.
2:22 to 2:26.
All right, so
on
Pete?
The FU network.
So, Pete? Yes, quit keeping us at bay here. What's the big news?
Well, I alluded to this at the Big Denny's meeting we had last week when we got the whole gang together. The one thing we are going to push again is the journal. We're not going to call it a magazine at this point. We came up with the name The Paranormal Black Book. And we'd like this to be the global resource for all things paranormal. Paranormal, parapsychology, UFO, Sasquatch, cryptids, psychics, Reiki, zombies, anything you want in the realm of the paranormal. In the U.S., South America, Asia, England, Europe, Germany, Russia. If it's on this planet or beyond, we'd like to cover it. But to be a companion with that, I've set up, which we haven't launched yet, is a Facebook group page called the Paranormal Black Book. A few years ago, there was a big movement in the paranormal community, to unify everyone. Well, that since crashed and burned, and we were against that from the beginning, and we were extremely vocal about that. I'm not going to give up what we've built over the past 12 years, 10 years, 11, I don't even know how many at this point, to do something that somebody else wants us to do. But as Mark had alluded to for a long time, collaboration. We should all work together. We're one team, one family, one mission. That's what Paranormal Black Book is meant to be. So, on that Facebook page, which we'd like to have 10 million viewers or members by the end of the month, we're going to have separate tabs set up for groups. If you're a group out there, go on. Put your bio out there. Put the link to your page up there. If you're a psychic, put your link up there. If you practice Reiki or any spiritual or occult stuff, put your link up there. If your group is hosting an event, there'll be a tab to put your events up there. Let's start spreading the word. I mean, after all, we are the people that like this hobby, so why don't we have a resource that we can use? Maybe you have extra equipment. We got a tab on there for people to sell stuff. Maybe you want to sell your readings. Then we have individual tabs for places around the world. We have a tab for the U.S., Canada, South America, and specific places. I mean, Asia, you name it. We'd like to see a lot more global involvement. Realistically, I think overseas, they think the American paranormal movement is a joke. And this might be our chance, ladies and gentlemen. Might be our chance.
Yeah, and for anyone who posts on there as far as it being a paranormal group or a psychic or whatever have you, if you're on there and you're bashing other groups and other people and stuff like that, we'll just remove you.
Absolutely. And
ban you. That's crazy. I mean,
there's no room for that.
You know, you might not like the way someone approaches that. What they do, and it's different than yours, and you might think someone doesn't basically have something that's real or whatever, but don't pass judgment. Basically, just, you know, we all need to kind of work together, so no bashing of other groups or the psychics or TV shows or anything like that. So
yes, and that's the opening mantra. This is a drama-free zone. If you can't wear your big boy pants, we're kicking you out.
That's right.
I don't need this garbage. Well, because we started late, they've extended us for 2 minutes, so you got 2 minutes, Steve. 1 minute.
Well, like I said, we're
no pressure, Steve. No pressure, Steve.
Well, we're going to be busy the next couple weekends, gentlemen. Rich is going to be busy because I'm sending him out.
Yes!
You're going to a place in Cassville?
Nice.
Yes, very nice people.
I don't even know where that is, but I'm looking forward to it.
You'll enjoy.
That's what Google Maps is for,
the
folks.
People, yes, the people there are very good. Very nice people. Pete and I went there with Kathy on the consultation, so you'll enjoy
awesome.
That very much. And a private location on the 21st.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to it. Ready to take the teams in, and help these people or get peace of mind. And I think that's one of the big things that they're looking for is peace of mind.
Absolutely.
So.
And I can't wait to see your review of how the new people handle it.
Cool.
I'm not sure what the next show will be because it actually falls on Christmas Eve, so we may not be broadcasting. So if I don't hear from you or you hear from us, we love you and have a very safe holiday.
And Merry Christmas to
everybody. Yes, happy holidays to everyone. Yes. We don't talk to you beforehand. And again, thank you for being our listener audience. And we got a couple new things we're working on for the show, which we'll probably put together for after the holidays or after the first of the year. So stay tuned.
Yes.
One last thing.
For this episode of Paranormal Investigator Radio. Be sure to visit us online at paranormalinvestigatorradio.com. Until next time, happy hunting and stay spooky.